Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org and like us on Facebook.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
Johnny, avid listener and local attorney Scott Lindsay has asked us to talk about the state of cinema.
All right, why? We don't go asking Scott to tell us about the contemporary state of the legal system.
Well, for some reason he heard me say
temerity, this guy?
For some reason he heard me say a couple of things that were actually cogent, and he thought we might be able to answer this question, but I think we need help.
Yes, we do. Listen, first of all, I appreciate Scott writing in. And to show him exactly how much we care, we brought in contemporary state of cinema expert.
Oh, great.
State of contemporary cinema expert, Chris Hamill, president and programmer, the Gateway Film Center. Chris, welcome aboard.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, that's a pretty broad topic.
Right. Well, let's narrow it.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Let's narrow it. First of all, I think the state of cinema in Europe is still good, solid. It's my preference for films. But if you look at American films, which dominate the world, Steven Soderbergh last week talked about something to the effect that he didn't think that the suits, the executives, really understood cinema because they're narrowing the field down to blockbusters. There'll be 19 between now and August. And although they've had a good start, Iron Man, Star Trek, something's going to fail. Perhaps World War Z, maybe. I'm just kind of predicting. But anyway, Chris, I think this is the nub of it for me. Is whether you're going to have films like The Artist, smaller films that we have, or whether we're going to continue to have the blockbusters that will move out, because if you make one or two of those, you're solid. You know, what's your feeling?
Well, I think to start with, the blockbusters aren't going anywhere. You're going to continue to see long-term franchises. The studios are seeking out franchises. And the reason they're doing that is that's what both American and international audiences by and large want. You referenced Iron Man. You know, we're on our fourth Iron Man film if you include the Avengers. Which I think you do. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot more of them because Iron Man's already at the $250-300 million mark, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into its run.
Yeah, and altogether it's in the billion club.
Correct.
And most of the I don't know how many there are of blockbusters in the last decade or two, most of them have been blockbusters that make the billion club.
Yeah, correct. But I think the other thing that's going on is technology has made it so much easier for independent filmmakers to make films, specifically digital technology, and where making a film used to be such an enormous project that only a few could do it. Now we live in an era where anybody with a good story and a relative knowledge of how to operate technology can get a film into theaters. I think what the industry is really lacking is the middle, John. You know, in the past, not every film was this little indie darling or a giant blockbuster. There was a lot of films in the middle. And those films in the middle, from an exhibition standpoint, are where movie theaters historically made a lot of money because they weren't paying the premium rates as they are for films like Iron Man 3, which you may have read was the most expensive film ever sold to exhibition.
Wow.
So we're paying more for Iron Man 3 than we've ever paid for any film ever. And that those middle grade films, which there are a lot of little indie darlings among, or there are blockbusters that might have underperformed slightly, those are clearly lacking in the industry right now, and the studios are ignoring that need.
So essentially what you're saying is we're not missing the blockbuster, we're not missing the indie darlings, we're missing the B-movie. The B-movie. I mean, you know, like, I remember even, there was a time when, remember The Edge with Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin, and it was, you know, they're running away from a killer grizzly. Like, I love stuff like that, and we don't see that kind of mid-level movie.
And there have been very few of them this year, as you guys certainly know. I mean, films that come to mind early this year are a film like Warm Bodies. Do you remember that? Fun little zombie movie. That's the kind of middle ground film I'm talking about. The film wasn't a failure, but it also wasn't a billionaire's club film, John, as you referenced. Yeah. And there are just so few of those at this point that it's really an interesting...
Does that mean we won't have The King's Speech, No Country for Old Men, The Hurt Locker. I mean, these are quality films, not even B films. As far as I'm concerned, they're A films, and they've won the Oscar. Does that mean because we have so many tentpole movies that eventually we won't even have these?
No, I think all three of those films you referenced are films that started out in an independent studio. The Weinstein Company, I believe, distributed two of the three of those, and the other one might have been Focus. But the point is, those films weren't relied upon to hold up neither a studio, an indie studio, or exhibition as a whole, but they were able to break through. And I think you still have a steady diet of those every year, but a lot more films that do not find an audience, at least in cinemas.
You know, speaking of the indie darlings, Chris, I noticed, like, you know, the programming at the film centers is, you work very hard to program the films here, but there seems like there's so many of them. Are there more films? Are there more independent films?
There's a lot more. And it's harder than ever to sift through what audiences are going to latch onto and what they're not. We just played The Angel Share, the Ken Loach film, which is a great film, almost to a man. Every person who's seen it loved it, but it did not find an audience. And in this environment that we're in, where you're either a blockbuster or, as John was referencing, you know, you referenced The Artist and a few other films.
Yeah.
The Angel Share is not. It's a little film, but it's a great film. And because of that volume of those little films, Johnny, it can be difficult for even really good little films to find an audience. Last but not least, there's a lot less critical analysis of film than there was 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Why? Because Roger Ebert died? That's not the reason?
No, well, no, although that certainly hurts a little bit since the guy did review virtually every film made in the entire planet. But, you know, it's great that there's shows like yours where you're still talking about these kind of things because there's a lot less outlets than there were even, you know, a decade ago for these types of films.
There's much on the internet, but it's not great stuff. There's a whole lot of it.
There's some of it out there, but, you know, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise when it comes to how many films are released. There's a lot of noise when it comes to how much, you know, nonsensical discussion is being bandied about.
Last but not least on that point is that there used to be a lot of local voices that you learned to trust.
Yes.
And if there's a lot of films out there, but somebody like you, John, or maybe Johnny, to a much lesser degree, obviously, you know, you learn to trust a critic that lives near you or that you read a lot. And there's just such a lack of that at this point that I think it's harder sometimes for these films to find an audience.
Yeah. And, of course, we're getting wire service reviews all the time now in our local newspaper. And there is something about having a local reviewer, as you say, that you trust. I don't know what it is. I mean, why should he know better than anybody else or she? But what? So what's the deal then with contemporary movies? How do we end this discussion? How do we satisfy Scott?
John, we don't end this discussion. Okay. It has to go on. We can't solve all that. We can't answer Scott's question in 1 5-minute episode or 1 13-minute long rant on an uncut version. We might have to revisit this topic.
The one thing for sure that people can take away and Scott can take from his question is, if you want to see something different than what you currently have, you have to encourage your friends, your family to go see other films.
Yes.
Because you can, as much as it pains us, you can't blame the studios for following this franchise model because that is what people are going to see.
And that is so true. They still want to see blockbusters. As you started out, they're not going away.
There's no chance. That's what's holding the entire business of exhibition up, Ooh. Are these tent poles. Ooh. But there are a few of us who continue to try to bring you these other things. And if you want them, if you want to continue to have that outlet, you have to go watch them.
And, you know, the scary thing is, John, that as, you know, moviegoers become more mindless consumers and just continue to feed into this big machine, these smaller movies that we're talking about, the B movies, the classic movies, the ones that find an audience that are original and resourceful, we're in danger of losing them. And if audiences don't find them and don't support them, they will go away.
However, we are not going away.
No, scary, right?